Good evening, everybody. Tonight's sponsor is the Mizrahi children. I wish refuah shelema to their mother, Salcha Bat Sara. We wish this wonderful woman refuah shelema. We always need sponsors. I have a newcomer to our tape audience out there in tape land. He gets a big smile when I beg for sponsors on the tape. He feels like it's a commercial. But, listen, without the sponsors, he wouldn't be listening, would he? So we appreciate all the work Rico does for us, and we appreciate all our generous sponsors. If you want to know how it works, you call 718-375-1023. If you tell them you want to sponsor something, you'll be treated like a king or queen. Pesach. Maran in Shulchan Aruch opens up his Hilchot Pesach, a complete volume in the six-volume set of Mishnah Berurah, as a matter of fact, and even more in Kaf HaHayim. Shualim V'Dorshim. We ask and we make Dirashot about the Hilchot Pesach 30 days in advance. And he brings two wonderful reasons. One, that there's just so many halachot between the making and the baking of the matzahs and getting rid of the chametz and fixing the dishes and the seder and everything that goes on in this beautiful chag. It's just a lot. So if you don't start 30 days before, how are you supposed to cover it? And the second reason he brings is because Moshe Rabbeinu did such a thing when the people came and complained that they couldn't keep Pesach in the Midbar in the desert. He instructed them as to the substitute under special circumstances, not for us, Pesach, the times of the Mikdash when they had to bring a Korban. Those who were spiritually impure when the real Pesach came had an opportunity 30 days later to bring what's called Pesach Sheni. And that law was given on the first Pesach for the second, 30 days before. Now, this morning we spoke a little bit about the Haggadah and the Seder. One aspect of the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim in the holiday. Tonight I want to take a different approach. When we envision the night of Pesach, that first Pesach in Mitzrayim in Egypt, we think of the Jews rushing around, getting ready to leave. And we can picture the Egyptians also rushing about trying to escape the punishment of Hashem, the Makat Bechorot, the plague of the firstborn. There's pictures of haste, chipazon. One of the key words of this holy time of the year, Chodesh Ha'aviv, the springtime. The Chavot HaLevavot says that a person learns very many important principles when they're young. And what they learn when they're young sometimes doesn't mature with the person. We get bigger, we get taller. We even learn other things. But sometimes we don't review with a mature adult attitude things that we learn as children. But if we do revisit some of the basics, we'll discover secrets of the Torah. And we can understand principles and comprehend ideas that we weren't able to when we were younger. In fact, says the Chavot HaLevavot, we have an obligation to go back to the stories in Midrashim we learned as children over and over as we mature. And one of the main foundations and cornerstones of our faith is Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. When Hashem gave the Aseret HaDibirot, when He started giving the Torah to Am Yisrael, He started off, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. He didn't say who created the world, which is reason enough to be the master. He created Yesh Me'ayin, He created something from nothing, which no other power can do. Asher otziticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Instead He says, I took you out of Egypt, mi'beit avadim. So our whole dot, our whole religion, is based primarily on the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Not that He created the world. Rabbi Yehuda Levi asked Ibn Ezra, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, why is it Yitziat Mitzrayim and not the 7 days of creation that's the basis of Hashem's mastery over us? And the answer is eyewitness news. When Hashem created the world, nobody was around to see it. He created us on day 6. The daytime, as a matter of fact. Half the day was gone. So since nobody saw Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Rii, Yom Hamishi, until Yom Shishi, there were no witnesses to the fantastic creations Hashem created. And that will leave room for doubters, scoffers, that Hashem can make, you know, they can deny anything. Look at the news coming out of this topsy-turvy world lately. It's really shocking when you listen to the news. Everything seems like the opposite. The good guys are the bad guys. The bad guys are the good guys. I don't know. Can't figure it out, can you? It's just fantastic. Haramban at the end of Parashat Bo says, by doing the mitzvot, many of which are zecher l'tziat Mitzrayim, like a mezuzah, like tefillin, like matzah, like sukkah, and so many others. All those mitzvot that are zecher l'tziat Mitzrayim, in commemoration of the exodus from Egypt, is like each of us standing up and declaring, Hashem created everything, He's our God. We stress miracles, especially these, as the basis of our emunah, our faith. But if we delve a little deeper, and if we re-examine the things we learned as children, the way Chovot HaLevavot suggests, we'll see that the foundation of our emunah is the actual Yitziat Mitzrayim itself. It was the time when we as a nation were born. And birth is a pretty big miracle. The leaving itself and the birth of the Jewish nation as a people, a unified people, in a totally unnatural way, emerges as a foundation of our faith. No less than the Eser Makot, the 10 plagues, or Kiryat Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea. The Midrash tells us about that fantastic statement. What did Hashem do that night? Hotzi goy mikerev goy. He extracted a nation from the womb of another nation. A nation from amidst a nation. What was it like, says the Midrash? Like a vet removing the embryo from the womb of a pregnant animal. That's how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And that requires a little explanation. When we were slaves in Mitzrayim, And it's hard to understand what it is to be a slave. And to be a slave as a people for 200 plus years. What we did not have, we had a lot of sarot, we had a lot of sivlot, we had a lot of problems. But what we did not have was an identity of our own. We were swallowed within Egypt like an embryo in a cow's womb. And all our existence was dependent on the host nation, the Egyptians. And that meant that we were not only enslaved physically, we were enslaved spiritually as well. We sunk so low, the Midrash tells us, and so many of you have heard so many times over, to the 49th level of spiritual impurity, of which there are only 50. We were one notch up from the basement. And from this, we were snatched and saved to become Hashem's people. The Gemara gives a graphic description of the birth. If you open up Masechet Nida, Daf Lamed, it says, "Lema havale dome b'me'imo." To what does the fetus resemble when it's inside the womb? The mouth is closed. The navel, better known as the belly button, is open. And the sustenance that this living thing eats is whatever the mother eats. What happens? V'kevan sheyatza le'avir ha'olam. The moment it comes out into the air of the world, niftach hasatum v'nistam ha'patuach. Great phrase of Gemara. You've got to always remember that one. Niftach hasatum, that which was sealed is opened. V'nistam ha'patuach, and that which was opened seals up. The mouth which was closed because it had no function opens up to eat. And the navel which was the feeding tube closes up so that the child can live. And so too many other parts. The openings open and they were closed before. And the point tonight is not that that happens. Everybody can understand that. But that it's an instantaneous transformation. At the moment of birth, the way the child lives and exists and survives changes. From what? Pay attention. She's taking notes. I have to speak slowly. From a condition of total dependence on the mother to an individual, independent life of its own. And that's what the Midrash means when it says, Goy mikerev goy. We became an entity, an independent thing called Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel. When did all this take place? It's very important to pinpoint and understanding maturely what happened in Mitzrayim. It happened on the threshold of Yitziat Mitzrayim when we as a nation accepted mitzvot. We agreed to do whatever Hashem said. Hashem came to Moshe and said, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. This month shall be to you the first of all months." And Nisan became month number one. And although Rosh Chodesh was given to Moshe and Aharon, the two representatives of the people. And although we had a thing called Brit Milah that was given to our patriarch Abraham, and there was the mitzvah of not eating that certain vein or muscle called Gid HaNasher from the time when Yaakov fought with the angel, those were all individual type mitzvot. But when the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim came, just a few days before Hashem gave the commandment of the first nationwide calling plan, mitzvah. The first nationwide mitzvah was a thing called Korban Pesach. The Paschal Lamb. I love to read it in English. The Paschal Lamb. I don't know what Paschal means, but I guess it means of Pesach. But because there was a Paschal Lamb and we accepted it, that mitzvah transformed us. You see, every individual had to partake of it. Every person is commanded to take part in the Korban Pesach. But there's something else about it. It's eaten as a group. A lamb was brought. They go, how many lamb chops can we get out of this rack of lamb? How many this? How many that? How many? They figure out this lamb could be eaten by 12 people. They brought 12 people and they made a seder with that lamb. Each individual had obligation to eat it, but it had to eat in a designated group. And no one outside the group could eat that lamb. And nobody from that group could partake of another lamb. It wasn't like you decide the last minute to go to the in-laws. You had to decide where you were eating. Through that mitzvah, Hashem sanctified each individual Jew. And He gathered us together and formed us into a group called the nation, the people of Israel. Now we're getting somewhere. Starting to develop what went on that night. Think about it a minute. Picture an airplane. I think there was once a novel like this. An airplane, let's say it has 100 passengers, they're all little children. And the plane crashes on an island somewhere. Uncivilized place. There was a novel. I remember reading. Lord of the Flies. Good. I got it. Yeah. Comes back to me now. It's not my notes, so this example I'm making up as we go. They crash. Young people, they have a certain amount of supplies on the plane. They're on a beautiful tropical island, so there's food to eat, I guess. And they start to develop what we call a society. They build a couple of huts, they make a couple of tents, they work together, basic survival things. As they grow, and this will go beyond whatever that book was about, into adults, and they start to marry, have children, suddenly there's a need for laws. Can you steal from me? You take what's mine? I don't know, we don't have a law yet. Let's make a law about what belongs to whom. Okay, you want to marry and you want to marry. How do you get married? We've got to make a law. How do you get married? Okay, unfortunately, it didn't work out. Now they want a divorce. How do you get a divorce? Each society develops a body of law based on the needs of that society. First, the people come together. Then they live together. And as the need requires, they develop a system, social system, a legal system. Maybe you go on red lights and you stop on green lights. It's all made up. It was made up the first time there was a traffic accident. So they put a light on the corner. And now in Brooklyn there's a light on every corner. Because so many cars and so many, we got to know when to go, when to stop, otherwise it'd be a madhouse. So the people develop into a society, and the society develops laws, and everybody agrees by consent to follow them, more or less. And that's the way societies develop. Not so Am Yisrael. We ain't like that. That's how we describe it in the neighborhood. We ain't like that. That's not how we developed. The laws were given before we were freed. Before we reached our homeland. And before we settled into the land we were promised. And so many of the laws seem premature or even illogical as they hinged on Ki Tavo El Ha'aretz. When you get to the land, I want you to take challah, I want you to bring bikurim, I want you to bring ma'aser, I want you to do all these things. When? When you get there. We're not there yet. What do you want from me? Give me laws before. I don't know about those laws. What's a bikurim? I don't know what a farm is. I'm in the desert, in an air kavod. What are you giving me laws for? All the laws of the Mikdash, before. Inside Yerushalayim, outside. What's Yerushalayim? I don't know what that is. Elam Makom Hashem's going to take you. Harvesting produce, planting things. Kilayim. Well, we don't do that. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. So what are you giving it to me now for? It was unnatural to give laws that way. And just like the legal system of mitzvot developed in a way negative to the regular way the world develops, they didn't develop slowly and gradually. So too, when we were formed as a nation, it wasn't slow and it wasn't gradual. It was in a hurry. It was in one day. Ushmartem et ha-matzot, it says. And you should guard the matzot that they don't become chametz. The Midrash says, Ushmartem et ha-mitzvot. Because matzot and mitzvot is made up of the same letters. You should guard the mitzvot, the commandments. Ki ba'etzem ayom hazeh, hotzeti et tzivotechem eretz Mitzrayim. In the heart of that day, I took out your masses, your brigades, from the land of Egypt. Sifono says on that pasuk, Ushmartem et ha-matzot, you should guard the matzahs, hamorot, that teach and demonstrate the principle of mehirut, speed, haste. Beli amtanat chaimutz. How does something become chametz? You take water, you take flour, you make a matzah, you make a matzah. How does it become chametz? When you delay more than 18 minutes. Ki ba'etzem hayom hazeh, this day itself, says Sifono, biyom ehad na'asa kibbutz shelo hayu maspikim ela b'teva. 2 to 3 million people got together. Gathered together from all over the land of Egypt. Something that couldn't be done in several days or weeks. Look what it takes them to get from Kuwait to Baghdad at 70 miles an hour. Now picture all over Egypt. The word goes out, we're leaving, and 3 million people come together in one day. And they get up and go. One morning. Men, women, children, animals, possessions. They left pronto. In a hurry. in an unnatural way. It was miraculous. The books tell us that they covered great distances in short times in that first day. That's what's meant by Va'asa etchem al kanfei nisharim. I carried you on the wings of eagles. Sort of like there was no time, no space, no natural forces. The Maharal says that's what chozek yad means. It says Hashem took you out with a strong hand. Ki bechozek yad otzi Hashem etchem mimitzrayim. What does that mean? Mighty hand. Says that the Maharal means speedily and unnaturally. When you want to describe strength of action, he says, it's by the speed with which the result is achieved. If two boxers, Levhabdil, go into a ring and they beat each other on their head for 12 or 13 rounds and then one of them knocks the other out, they don't say it was a mighty blow from his right arm. But if he knocks him out in the first round, you see all the superlatives come out. Because he achieved the goal of knocking him out speedily. So it was a powerful bop, right, back, down. You read the sports page, you see how great they describe that punch. Because it was fast. And the same way speed brings Yeshua and Ge'ulah and matzah, salvation and redemption and matzah, inaction brings chimutz, brings the leavening, the souring of the dough. So the pasuk tells us, says the Maharal, Zachor et hayom asher yitzatem mim Mitzrayim. Remember the day you came out of Mitzrayim, ki bechozek yad, with that special speed and haste called a mighty hand, Hotzi Hashem etchem mizeh. Anybody know how to continue that pasuk? Ve'lo yachel chametz. And chametz should not be. Well, what does one thing have to do with the other? To demonstrate that we understand that the might is the haste, we don't eat matzah. We don't eat chametz. Continues the Maharal. Not only did Hashem forbid chametz, He commanded us to eat matzah. In order that we would incorporate into our beings this power of haste, of zirizut. He commanded us symbolically to eat Pesach. What does Pesach mean? Now in English it's Passover. Right? And if you ask a child, like we used to be right before tonight, Hashem passed over the houses of the Jews that had blood on the door, and therefore it's called Passover. Very good, right? Says Rashi on the Pasuk, a second explanation of Pesach. Hashem had mercy on us. Pesach. He had mercy on us. Pasach abate Yisrael. He had mercy on the house. So he tells us, eat a korban Pesach, so that when I see you eating, doing that mitzvah of Pesach, meaning mercy, I will have mercy on you. And eat it in a hurry, so I will take you out in a hurry. In other words, as you cling and cleave to the midot, to the traits I ask you to through the mitzvot, it will be a signal and a start button for me, Kabiachol, to behave in the same way in regards to you. You know what happened that night? Where did they eat the Korban Pesach?
Anybody know?
The pasuk says they ate it in the house. Lo yetze ish mi petach beto ad boker. You eat it in the house and don't go out till the morning. You can't go out. The mashchit, the destructive force that killed the Egyptians, was all over Egypt. Don't open the door. Right? Watch what Yonatan ben Uziel says. Big chidush. Sharpen your pencil. Yonatan, Targum, Yonatan ben Uziel says, Hashem carried them to the spot of the Beit HaMikdash. That's in Yerushalayim. All these people. They performed the Shechita, the slaughtering of the lamb, and he returned them to their homes to eat it. Picture that one. Star Trek. 3 million people beamed to Yerushalayim. They slaughter their lamb, and they get beamed back home, and they're suddenly sitting at the table, smile like nothing happened. And they sit and eat, dressed to leave tomorrow morning, wearing a belt, having a staff, motechem, chagurim, everything ready. They had their walking shoes on. Why? To demonstrate that as Hashem's nation, we're not only above nature, we're above space and we're above time. We're getting there. You'll soon see it all differently. Hashem miraculously brought us to Him. And we became one nation with a very unique title, His Nation. And our uniqueness demonstrates His uniqueness. Our unity demonstrates His unity. We're one nation. That means shalem, whole and perfect. We need nothing other than ourselves. Hen am levadad yishkon. We could live on our own. We don't need the peoples. We need no time to develop. We were born in an instant. And we're focused around one thing. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our service to Hashem. You know, it reminds me of a story. How important the principle of the Echad is to us. Not related at all to Pesach. But I don't think it's on a tape anywhere, so we might as well tell it. And if it is, so you'll hear it again. Sidebar. Click. Pop up. In World War II, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, killed millions of Jews in a very methodical, very business-like fashion. They had quotas and numbers and systems for destroying people's bodies and then disposing of them or making use of the body parts as they wished. Thousands in a day to a total of 6 million. They tried to wipe out Judaism from Europe and did a pretty good job before they were stopped. There was one rabbi in Germany after the war who decided to rebuild a little kehillah in his city. He wanted to have a congregation where it used to be. So he went, he rebuilt the shul, and he opened it up. And some of the people that used to live there came back. And some people that never left joined. And he started a congregation. And Baruch Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, it was pretty successful. on Motzei Yom Kippur, just around the Havdalah of Kippur, as the people streamed out of the Beit Knesset, of the synagogue, to go home to eat, a man came into the synagogue. He walked up to the ark. He grabbed onto the parochet, the velvet curtain, and he started to break down crying. And he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then he continued to recite the entire Shema as the rabbi stood by in awe watching, as he had never seen the man before. And he certainly did not pray with them on Kippur, he only showed up after Kippur. When the man was finished, he cried for a few moments, he wiped his face, and slowly left the synagogue. Instead of coming again the next morning, the rabbi never saw the man again. Until 1 year later, not Erev Kippur, when Kippur was starting, Motzei Kippur, as Kippur was ending. And the same scene. People just left the shul, comes walking into the shul, grabs on to the curtain, as close to the Torah as he could get, screams out a Shema Yisrael that can make the room shake, cries through the entire three paragraphs of Shema, word by word, sobbing and crying the whole time, stands by the curtain crying, finishes and turns to walk out, but this time the rabbi stops him. The rabbi says, excuse me, I'm the rabbi of this congregation, can I help you? He says, thank you, Rabbi, I don't need any help. The rabbi says, but I need some information. Be my guest, Rabbi, it's your shul. He tells him, this is 2 years in a row now that you came as Kippur was ending. How come you didn't come pray with us on Kippur rather than show up after Kippur? And the man said, I can't pray with you on Kippur. And the rabbi says, why not? He says, because I'm a goy, I'm a Gentile. He says, Gentile? I just heard you recite the Shema with as much emotion as any Jew could possibly do it. He said, yes, and that's why I'm here. He says, you see, I was a guard by the door of the chambers, the showers, in the concentration camp. And I used to stand there every day. And as the people were herded in, I would sit and listen to their cries of Shema Yisrael. And I heard it so many times that I know it by heart. And I don't know how to make it up, and I don't know how to repent, I don't know how to fix it. I feel so bad that I didn't even save one of them. And I know this is your holy day, so I come here to say that Shema that so many of your people had on their lips as they died. Goy. Hashem Echad. Where did he hear it? On the lips of every Jew that he killed. We're focused. The Gemara tells us that Hashem, and it's hard to understand, wears tefillin. And the Gemara asks, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Well, in our tefillin, it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the Gemara answers, in Hashem's tefillin, it says, Mi cha'amecha ki Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like your nation, Israel, a nation unique in the land. We proclaim He is unique in one. He proclaims we are unique in one. We're connected. When each person has his or her own individual desires, it creates divisions amongst people. That's what jealousy is about. That's what theft is about. That's what immorality and unfaithfulness is about. You have it, I want it. We're not one together. I'm me and you're you. And I want what's for me. But when we have one spiritual purpose, the service of Hashem, it unifies us into one mass, to one master. And that's what the Pesach sacrifice represents. Uniqueness and unity. Let's look at some of the laws, halachot of the Pesach. It had to be roasted whole. They put a spit through it, but it had to look like a lamb. One reason was so that the Egyptians would know that we slaughtered their god. But from the point of the Jew was to keep it whole as a unit. It had to be eaten in one house. You couldn't go outside. It had to be 1 year old without blemish. Perfect. It had to be a sheep. A sheep is a small, delicate animal. And that animal feels the toe to the tail. Any pain is felt by the whole animal. One nation, our nation, became one on the night of Pesach through the Torah. The keeping of those first mitzvot, the unifying force. And should someone violate the laws of the Torah, it's a blemish on our people. And it hurts the people. The Maharal adds that one of the laws is Al tochilu mimenu na ubashem uvushal b'mayim. You can't eat it raw and you can't eat it cooked in a pot with water like you make a soup or a stew. How did you have to cook it? Ki im sili esh. Had to be roasted over a fire. Barbecue. Says the Maharal, when you boil a meat, it swells and it breaks up into pieces. When you roast the meat, it dries and becomes firm. Becomes tighter. The Pesach represents our unity. It demonstrates that we are one, and it demonstrates that Hashem is one. Ve'avadta et ha'avodah hazeh. The korban is called the avodah, is called zeh. This korban, this Pesach, represents our special relationship to Hashem. And it was commanded to be brought before we left Mitzrayim. And so we became a nation, as I said before, through the acceptance and performance of our first mitzvot. What makes us special? Our unity of purpose. Service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to knock on the door of the King of Kings, Melech Malchei HaMelechim, we have to first knock on the door of our hearts and minds. The door can only be opened through revisiting, through a new study of old stories, of re-examining and investigating the details of the miracles of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And if we do so on a daily basis, maybe we'll have a harchavat halev, an opening of the heart. And Hashem will enter to answer our prayers. That's the concept of Pesach. A concept of a birth of a nation in an instant. A transformation from a fetus, totally dependent and part of something else, into an infant, separate, an independent being, waiting to grow into a full, mature adult. We've spent the last 3,300 years developing into what we are today, a mature people of the Torah, who have suffered for the Torah, who sacrificed for the Torah, who study the Torah, and who observe the Torah. B'chodesh Ha'aviv, Pesach must come out in Chodesh Ha'aviv. It must be in the springtime. That's why we have a leap year this year. That's why we have an extra month, Adar. Because if not, the 11 days missing between a lunar year and a solar year would put Pesach 1 month earlier every 3 years. Come out in September after a few years. In August after a few years. But no, we have a law that we must adjust the calendar. So it'll come out in the spring. Spring is symbolic of birth and rejuvenation. By the way, I saw a beautiful comment on appreciating that fact too. When we read about Yetziat Mitzrayim, it says, Hayom atem yotze'im b'chodesh ha'aviv. Picture lo aleinu, and Hashem should bring a speedy victory in the war with Iraq. Picture how those prisoners feel right now, the ones who were captured, who are probably being interrogated and tortured. How would they feel if you come to release them and it's snowing? Would he say, come back in the springtime? I want to leave without a coat and jacket. I don't want to put on gloves and a scarf. You got to be Mejnu. You got to be crazy. Picture our people in the sivlot, the sufferings of the Holocaust of Mitzrayim for 210 years. Hashem tells us, I'm taking you out. Hayom, today, Bechodesh Aviv, the month of springtime, beautiful day. Just like in the movie, don't watch it. It's a beautiful sunny day. Why? Just a side perk. But appreciate it. Every year when Pesach comes out in the spring, and it's a beautiful spring day, say, look at the kindness of the Bore. He could have taken us out any time, but he made it at a time when it was pleasant. Every detail was geared to show his special love for us. We accepted his mitzvot. He accepted us as his people. We were goy, bekerev goy. We were in the 49th level of Tumah, immersed in the depravity of Mitzrayim spiritually, regardless of the physical slavery. And Hashem, in an instant, bechipazon, in a minute, that same day, b'yom hazeh, he took out millions of people from all over the country, and one day they gathered and left. No coordinators, no planners, just go! On a beautiful spring day. That's what we prepare for. That's what we celebrate. And that's what we dedicate ourselves to. Our unity and our uniqueness. Our miraculous nature to be a nation above nature. No time, no space, no natural events. En mazal Israel. We are the people of Hashem. And if we rededicate ourselves to the learning of the Torah and the doing of a mitzvot, which was the whole purpose of freeing us and taking us as a nation, he will bring the final geulah, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah b'yameinu. Amen.